One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This episode is brought to you by Columbia College. More on that later. Let's get into the Dew.
You're listening to The Honey Dew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honey Dew, y'all. We are over here at a new setup in Studio Gene, still doing it at your mom's house. I'm your host, Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website is ryansickler.com. Go there, sign up for the email list. You'll be among the first to know special things. Like, there's something special going on right now for the month of November for those people already signed up. The podcast here, The Honeydew, thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's the website where you can go find out everything all Honeydew related. There's merch there, social media links. Posts, weekly posts. You can stream the episode from there. Don't forget to sign up and subscribe to your mom's house YouTube page. All of it's there for you. And thank you for all the messages. Thank you for all the love. I mean, you guys are fantastic. I'm glad this show is making a difference. I want to keep doing it. Keep bringing it to you, having fun with it though too. If you're new to the show, I say we highlight the lowlights. I'm a big fan of the fucking underdog over here. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, it's a return to the Honeydew. First time with video, though, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Josh Wolf.
What's up, man?
Josh Wolf is back on the
Thank
Honeydew.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you for being here.
It's funny, you know, this is the first video one, and usually I never leave the house in sweats and like a, but I'm going to work out afterwards. So I feel bad. This is the first video one that I'm on, but I look like a bum.
I think you look comfy. This is what I dress like 90% of the fucking time. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
I wear slacks to the gym.
Slacks?
Yeah.
Were you slacks. My grandfather?
You don't hear that anymore, dude. That's
Wait,
a throwback.
Slacks and chinos? My grandmother used to be like, we need to go buy you some chinos. I'm like, chinos?
Chinos are back now, though.
Are they?
They are. I mean, not on my body, but they are. I'm sweats and I roll three things.
Hit me.
Jeans.
Yep.
Sweats. Night pants. That's it. That's my whole trifecta.
Is Night Pants a superhero? Who's Night Pants?
Night Pants.
What are Night Pants, man?
You know, people, you all call them pajama pants or whatever. They're Night Pants. You wear them at night.
No, man. First of all, I'll tell you how many people in the world call pajamas Night Pants. One. One person. Because when you said Night Pants, I thought you meant like pants that if you had your lady, you'd go out at night with these Night Pants. You know what I mean? These
are They're my slacks.
Wait, okay. You know what I call those, by the way? Honestly, I'll always tell my wife, I'm like, I need a new pair of fancy pants. I call them fancy.
Yes, I like that.
I call them fancy pants, but I'm going to need a little.
My heavy rotation is jeans, sweats, night pants. That's my heavy rotation.
By the way, that sounds like a progression of age. You know what I mean?
When those night pants become day pants, it's over, brother. Okay? When you start hearing me call them day pants. It's a wrap.
Yeah, when you're rocking night pants all 24/7, yeah, you're comfortable. Let me ask you, I got to ask one more question.
Yes, please.
Give me a definition real quick between slacks and chinos.
I feel like chinos these days are much more, they're modern, they're better quality, they're built better.
What do they look like? Are they like khakis?
They're like, yeah.
Like a khaki material.
And a better better feel and fit. And then slacks are that old school, that hard crease right down. You know what I mean? Even with the bottom, it triangled out and shit. You know, pleats. Remember pleats, bro. They're slacks.
They're not doing pleats anymore, man.
No.
No.
But you don't hear slacks anymore.
No, you don't. But I'll tell you what. You know what? The one thing about those slacks is I could never figure out how to hang them because the crease, you know what?
You got to go with the seam.
Yeah.
You got to go with
the seam. Hard, man. Hard. I'll tell you something, though. Night pants.
I got a whole line of them.
I challenge any of your listeners to make some sort of cartoon or animation of Captain Night Pants.
That's going to be my animated series. Yeah.
Yo, Captain Night Pants never gets off the couch. He solves crime from his living room.
Right there.
Yeah. He solves crimes
I'm
like...
I'm going out back and smoke a joint and solve this murder.
Night Pants! Yes.
Yeah.
The crimes you... what you solve is like, where's the remote? Night Pants!
Yeah. All right.
There's no more bread. Night pants.
Before we get into my night pants.
Yeah.
And into this episode, please plug whatever you'd like.
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. I do a show on Tuesday nights on my Facebook fan page called Control Chaos, which you've been on.
Fantastic.
If you're somebody who likes a show that's a lot of fun and no politics and just comics riffing, I don't know how I would describe
it. I mean,
that's
me. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I never know what to expect.
That's
I'm like,
what
the fuck are they going to do on this episode? You know,
it's actually a
show I get a tiny bit like good nervous for because I don't know what I might have to sing.
Yeah.
I think last time I had to sing.
You know what we did last episode?
I flipped the dick.
Yeah, you nailed it. You know what? The last episode we did with Jamie Kennedy and Esther Koo and Mark Ellis, I had, Avery Pearson is there with a keyboard. And we played a game called musical theater where I gave them a scene and they had to think of. And so the scene, I said, Jamie, you're out to dinner with Esther and you found an unfortunate bump on your nuts. And you decided this was the time that you were going to tell her. And this song is called I've Found a Bump. And they did a whole scene.
And Avery's back there playing music to it.
It was great. But I do that on Tuesdays tonight. Or on Mondays, I do something called the High Live from my backyard where I smoke weed.
With your mini hands.
With my baby hands.
Yeah.
Tonight I'll also be taking some mushrooms.
Are you really?
I'm taking mushrooms and smoking, and then I just turn on the camera. It's been the single thing that's helped my stand-up more than anything in the world.
The High Live live stream?
Because for the first couple months I was doing it, I felt the need to be funny all the time. And I was like, they're watching me. I could be funny. And then I was like, I can't possibly be high and funny for an hour straight. And it made me totally okay with silence. It made me less self-conscious on stage when I was just trying things out. It made me less scared of making a fool out of myself because for an hour every Monday night, I make a fucking fool out of myself. And I started to realize on stage, my voice dropped a little bit. I wasn't as loud. I didn't have as much frenetic energy because I wasn't as scared to fail.
Right.
It's been a great.
That's great.
Plus, I just like getting high.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do while you're high.
Plus, I like getting high. Yeah.
So you and I go way back at this point now, and you've done episodes of The Crab Feast. You were already here on The Honeydew. We talked about, you know, you being a single parent,
mm-hmm.
raising how many kids at the time?
Three
by yourself.
Three.
The peanut butter and jellies and Ralph's and all the little ways you could get by back mm-hmm, in the day mm-hmm. when you're a single parent. And the winks and the nods that some of the nice ones threw your way and all that good stuff. But you had sole custody of all three kids at one point? Or majority?
Only legal custody of one.
One.
Yeah, but the other two, it was just a situation where she knew.
Unzip for this, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
God damn.
By the way, I mean, to have both of our laughs on one podcast
I'm gonna lose a lot and hear a lot of shit. I know.
It's going to be all you'd need is Bert sitting on the other mic, and that would be the end of this show. Yeah, man. And then I think last time I was on, I told a story that I'm not sure I had ever told before about just hitting a breaking point It was the only time I had ever hit one of my kids.
Yeah.
And so kids, okay. What I've learned as I've gotten older.
And how old are you now?
Older. is that you can't take it personally. You just can't. The things they say and the things they do. I sometimes think that if your kid is not like always outwardly rude to you, but if your child feels free enough to say certain things to you, I believe that some of that, this is going to sound weird and it's convoluted, and help and see if you can follow where I'm going. I think part of that is a sign of good parenting because your child is so comfortable to be relaxed. They're on their best behavior around other people.
Right.
One of the reasons that they say shit to you, now, not every parent, some kids are scared of their parents and would never, but the fact that your kid feels free and confident and secure and safe enough around you to have certain conversations or say certain things.
Like, fuck you, dad.
Yeah, okay, he's comfortable. Yeah. He must be comfortable.
I'm doing a good job.
No, but like,
I can tell he loves those bunk beds.
but I think the most person, like, my kids hurt my feelings really badly a couple of times, and I'd be lying to you if I told you I did not hold it against them, but like, it had residual effects on our relationship.
Yeah.
So I was raising those kids, and the two oldest ones weren't mine biologically, and they both at certain times decided to go move back up with their mom.
And how long had they been with you before they decided to go back to mom?
Well, my oldest son, it didn't hurt my feelings as much because going in, like, that was hit. He was a mama's boy.
Right. And how old was he at the time you came in?
When I came in, I met him when he was 2.
Okay.
2.5. And, but I, she had her issues and whatever, however she was as a mom. But like, I was very secure about who I was and who I was to them and where I fit and how much I sacrificed, and we sacrificed together and all that shit. And when they went up to live with their mom, I took it so personally.
Did you have a conversation about it, or did they just come to you and say, hey, this is what's happening, and then they bounce?
I remember I was walking with my daughter. She had moved back down, and she had been living with Beth and I for about 4 years. And we were out walking my dog, and she said, I think I'm going to move back up with mom. And it broke me. This is hard to say out loud, but I just recently forgave her. Like, it was so hard.
How long has it been?
She was 15. It's been 6 years, 7 years. It didn't change my relationship with her in that I treated her differently, or I was like, well, you're out of the will.
It's just something that you harbored.
Hard for me.
Yeah.
And,
you never let her know?
No.
Not in words, not in action.
No,
nothing.
Because
she knows now?
She will after this podcast. but it was more like, for me, man, it was more my own issues. As I've gotten older, I realized, well, that was, and I never obviously said anything to her, man, because that was her mom.
Right, yeah.
Right? There was a part of me who was like, I look at all of this that we've done together for you. Look at all of this time we've invested. And does that mean nothing? And so I took it personally. Like, she was saying to me, you're not a good dad. You don't do this well enough. I need to go get this from someone else.
So you looked at it that way instead of, it's not that you're bad, I just want something different.
Or that's my mom. Right, yeah. Now I'm living with somebody. Neither one of my parents who I'm living with are my biological. the only biological parent that I have that I'm in contact with
is my mom.
Is my mom. I would like to give this another shot. And I just couldn't, I didn't trust her. I didn't feel safe.
Your daughter or her mother?
And my daughter. Okay. I didn't feel safe in our relationship. This is going to sound like a pussy ass, but at the bottom line, I didn't feel safe in our relationship. My footing, which was secure for so long, that I thought, oh, that I'm the fucking guy. I'm the dad. And because right around the same time, too, and this didn't bother me as much, she was reaching out to her biological dad just to see what the deal was. And that I actually encouraged. But this hit me so hard in that it really shook up my relationships with other people. Because I was like, oh, okay, so if this has happened with my daughter, what do I really know about any relationship that I have with anybody, right?
Including your other kids.
Including my other kids.
Yeah.
That it was like...
That's where your head's at?
What are they really thinking? What... like, who's next? Who leaves next? And so it really was a... I remember we made the walk and I walked her back and I remember saying to my wife, I was like, she's going to move back up. And she said, is she gonna come back? And I said, I don't know. And I felt like a failure. Like, as a parent, I felt like a failure. Like, how could I give 100 and provide this life? You know what's up there. You know what, I don't know how she is as a mom now, but you knew what the deal was before. You're still, you know the disappointments that's come. And I don't know what she's like now. I don't have a relationship with my ex. And I don't know what their relationship is anymore. I don't know if she's gotten her shit together. But you knew what it was like. You knew the letdowns and the disappointments. And still, right? You've cried to me about all these things that she didn't do or couldn't do or hasn't done. But still? And so it shook me to my core. About what was wrong with me and what had, and I thought here, and you know what, another thing, man, is that like I had this whole who am I built up around me about, and part of it, honestly, dude, part of it is I kind of believed the hype that every room I went into here in town, you're like, oh, you're the single dad, you're this, right? So you do it, you know. And for whatever reason, a single dad gets way more credit. Look, all we got to do is keep him alive.
I say the same thing. I say on stage, don't applaud that.
No.
That's my job.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
It's, you know, but then when I...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Start talking about the shit I go through, it's like, oh, let's applaud the war but not the battles.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But also, that's our fucking job.
It's our,
like,
job.
Any, you know, it's and it's partly because we made bad mistakes in our lives.
Yeah.
It's some terrible decisions. Said yes to some shit we should have said no to. Okay,
but you know what, you know what's crazy too is that when somebody's acted like a kid is acting up at a park or in a supermarket, I'm going to say it. The first thing you think is, where is that kid's mom?
Yeah. Mom.
Mom. That's the first thing you think. But if all you got to do is see a dad pretending to be at a tea party with his daughter, you're like, that guy's a good dad. How do you know?
Right.
He could be drunk in that picture.
His mom could have been like, listen, you motherfucker.
Yeah, you
haven't seen her in 8 months. You go have tea with
you're
her.
You're here
ass
for five
now.
Minutes.
I'm going to get my hair done.
You don't know. But all we got to do is take a picture in a fucking tiara, and we're the best people in the world.
To everyone else. But not to our kids.
No.
That's the thing. You got to fucking show up.
You got to earn it.
You got to be interested. You have to have, you know, genuinely be interested. And you just have to be supportive. Yes, and earn it.
You don't need all these,
I say all the time, you don't need all these fancy fucking vacations and cars and houses and all that shit. You just need love.
Dude, when I was, one of the things I learned from having no money and raising the kids was that I watched all these, we went to a party. Jacob went to a Jew school in Hollywood for preschool. By the way, they hated it when I called it the Jew school. I was there. I'm like, hey, you guys go to the Jew school too? They were like, what? This is the temple. I'm like, okay. Whatever.
Jew school. Not our house.
Jew school sounds better. You know, when Jacob, his first three Halloweens, I told him he wanted to be a ninja. And I told him, I go, you're not a ninja, dude. You're a ninju. And I made him a Star of David to throw at people. It was great.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. That is good. That is
good. But what was I talking about?
Your daughter and how it felt, you felt like a failure.
Here's the one thing, though, that I learned. And this is one of the reasons I started out by saying they feel comfortable. She felt comfortable having that conversation with me.
Yeah.
Because she did feel safe with me. She did feel like she could say whatever she wanted. She did feel like she could say, I really miss my mom. I would really like to give that a try. And she felt safe. She felt safe enough to say that to me without fearing the repercussions. Like, I know that she had.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, he might fly off the handle.
He's not going to love me.
Might devastate him. Yeah.
All the stuff that I had beat myself up about. Just the fact that she was having a calm conversation with me about this is, I've been thinking about this and I love you, but I really want to, all the things that I was worried about, just the fact that we had the conversation, as I looked and I got older, I was like, oh, no. That actually, the reason she could have that conversation with me is because we had established that relationship.
Right.
She did feel safe. And it was all my personal, you know, you want that pat on the back. You want to be told that you're the best and all that. And
your ego gets in the way a lot of times, too. You know?
Yeah, man.
And the other thing, too, that she's saying, there's a couple things going on there. But obviously, at my age now and listening to, you know, I was telling Full Charge that I was like, Segura and I talk about you. You're like the comedy fucking whisperer. You're like the comedy, but you always say the right thing. You always know what. And he goes, yeah, for you guys. Like, it's easier for me to look at your shit and tell you what you should do. But when it's my turn for me, I don't see it. You know?
Yeah, but
she's there's an element of forgiveness at a very early age, trying to forgive her mom and make that work.
Yeah.
But also, she knows if that doesn't work, she's got right back to you.
Yes.
But you can't see all that in the moment of, like, that gut-wrenching
hurt.
Like, fuck.
Like, can you imagine if your daughter said to you, hey, I don't want to see you for like 3 years, but only like twice a year.
I'd be wherever the fuck it is. I'd be going, though.
Yeah. It does still affect sometimes my relationships without taking people at their face value of believing what they're saying to me. Because if she could leave, anybody can leave. Anybody
can
leave.
If that can happen, anything can happen.
I really tried hard as a parent not to take things personally that my kids would say to me. But, man, it was really hard. But as I've looked back and healed a little bit from that time, like that, her leaving, the conversation with her, and I know this is going to sound like maybe counterintuitive, but even though I don't feel, I question relationships now a little more, I don't get hurt as easily. It has made things when I was like, oh, okay. So she left, she came back, she left, like, and I still got up the next day and I still, you know, I still had two other kids. I still had a relationship.
Yes.
All these things where you realize, you think, I could never get past this. Tomorrow's not going to happen. And tomorrow happens. And then you just figure out how to make the best of it, which is what I ended up doing. Now, she and I are, I think she's closer to my, to Beth than she is to me. And I think a lot of the reason for that is because of those 5 or 6 years. I don't think it changed. I know it didn't change how much I love her, but it did change. I kept a little bit of an arm's length. I just did. I just know.
For how long? Until when? What made you, so what was the shift? What made you see all of this finally? You said you just recently, and what was it?
It, you know, she had some tough times.
She was gone for how long?
She was gone
3 years.
3 years. She came back for a senior in high school.
Okay.
But maybe 2 years. She's gone for 2 years. But the shift, she's had some problems recently. And she started calling me about those problems. And that's when I realized, like, wait, I still have that role. She still trusts me and feels safe around me to say these things that I would have never said to my parents.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If I had a problem, I would have never called my, I do now. At that age, I'm calling a friend. I'm calling somebody who's not my parent because my biggest fear was being judged by them.
Right.
She doesn't have that fear with me.
Well, that's great.
But once I could get past my own little ego and realize, oh, this is never, that's when I realized, oh, she felt comfortable enough to say this to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, she still calls and says things to me that I would have never said to my parents. She's still asking me advice about things I would have never. So I go back, I went back to what I was saying real early, which was, she felt comfortable not to lie to me.
Right.
She felt comfortable. And so as I've gotten older and looked back and in this recent period where she was having struggles, I really started to put it all together and was like, oh, no, it was actually because we did parent her and give her enough confidence to feel like she could make some choices on her own without having to worry about.
You did your job.
The worst thing your kid can do is worry that they're going to hurt your feelings,
right,
or that they're stressing you out, or that's shit you're putting on them. Mm-hmm. And we didn't put that on her. And I was really thankful when I got older and enough to look back and look at it, to know that we didn't fuck her up in that way. And she felt like she could tell us anything and just say it. And like, yeah, I'm going to go try that. Was it actually good for her?
Yeah.
Because if
a good friend of mine told me when I had a daughter, he was like, look, man, parenting is a long game.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You know, 2 years is a long fucking time to not hear from your kid or be away from your kid. But if you're a parent for 60 fucking years, that ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to be there. And that's right. You still have that role, you know. You don't ever stop being that.
It's a total long game, which is why, you know, there are little things that I learned from my parents. You know,
I was just going to say, did your parents split?
No, still together.
Still
together.
Wow.
How about this? I've never heard, and this will tell you a lot about who I am as a person and how I interact in the world. I never in my life heard my parents argue.
Damn.
They would do it after we were asleep in the basement. They may disagree talking.
They go down in the basement.
But I never heard them. Yeah.
I'll see you.
I'll see you in the basement tonight,
bitch,
in my
I'll
night
see
pants.
You in the motherfucking basement. I'll be the one in the pants.
You better get your night pants on because shit is going down.
My night pants are already on.
No. Never heard them yell at each other or raise their voice.
I mean, that is impressive.
Because I asked my dad about it, and he was like, and this is something I wish I had learned early on as a parent. I think I told you this. They learn more from watching you than from listening to you. Look, if you give every speech you give your kid, they don't.
Yeah.
Here, they pick up watching.
But I feel like if I sang it like a Disney princess, she could have everything.
I got my night pants on. I got my night pants on. Night pants.
That's my new Disney. My new Disney show, Night Pants.
God damn, I hope this.
So my animated series Night Pants is on Disney Plus.
Oh my god.
So they, so your dad's
never,
advice.
Never heard them.
They learn more from watching you than listening to you.
Yeah, if you think about it, like if you think about anything you want to tell your kid about, hey, this is how you should act around women, or this is how you treat your wife. If you're saying it, it doesn't matter. They're going to watch you. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick it up. Your cadence as that you speak with, the reason your kids have your cadence isn't because you're like, you should talk. Like, they're watching you.
Right.
So... that was something that I wish I had learned early, but that's when I started picking up. I don't yell in my relationships. I don't have like a temper. I watched from my mom and dad that water, man. Jeez, you gotta let that shit flow a little bit.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not always easy to do, you know?
No, it's not easy to do, but water. And what else I learned from my parents is that like, there's a different, I learned also that there are all different types of love. My dad never said, I love you until after his dad died.
Really? How old were you when that happened? How old were you when you first heard, I love you from your dad?
I mean, he might have sprinkled it in, but he says it every phone call.
He does now. So when did that change? How old were you?
Probably 30.
Wow. Okay.
Probably 30. That seems about right. But he... I'll tell you what he did, man. He was at every sporting event. When I mean everyone from T-ball until I left high school.
That was my dad, too. I don't even know how the fuck he did it.
Everyone. And you think about it, and in high school and shit, I didn't appreciate that. But as a grown-up now, to be able to get those 3 hours off on a Tuesday,
right,
or find it every fucking time.
Practice, games,
coach, everything.
Yep, coach. Basketball, soccer, yep, wrestling, football, all of it.
Well, I mean...
Baseball.
Yeah, well, my dad didn't let me play soccer.
But, did your dad really love you? That's why he's telling you he loves you now. He's like, I love you. You hang up, and he says, and I'm sorry I never let you play soccer. That's just the part you never hear. Number one sport in the world.
You could actually wear your night pants and play soccer. They're loose. You know what I mean?
If you're the Goldie.
Yeah, the Goldie.
We used to. Yeah, it's the thing I always say because there was always those parents that couldn't say goalie, but he's a good Goldie. We're like, God, shut the fuck up. That's when you realize as a kid, like,
that you grew up in the South.
Some of you adults are dumb.
Yeah.
Not everyone's smart. Yeah. You know, remember when you were a kid and you just saw older people so you thought they knew shit, and then there was that one moment where you're like, huh. Not all you older people are fucking smart. You're a dumb one. I'm smarter than you. And I know that right now. You ever meet, you know that when it just shifts for you? Like,
Do you know who the first person I can tell you?
Who?
Peter Waskiewicz.
Who the fuck?
Yeah, he was a grown-up in my town who lived in Massachusetts, but for whatever reason, always pronounced it Massachusetts.
And I
was
right?
Hey, man, like, come on. There's no, what are we doing? You live here, motherfucker. Yeah, like, you can't...
It's
on
your license. You can look at it. It's on the plate. It's on the card.
Now, listen, don't ask me to spell Massachusetts. I couldn't do that right now, but I know how to say it. I know how to say it pretty well.
I remember being a kid and just meeting certain adults, and I'm like, God, what a fucking idiot this guy is. And my brothers and I just clown him. I'm like, this fucking idiot right here. What a dumbass this guy is. It's an adult, a dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, the first time you realize that adults can be dumb,
it's empowering too. Like, huh? What I got a shot on this planet.
What about the first time you realize that not all adults have money? You're like, you can't pay for that either.
Wait, hang on. Yeah. I can't get two cheeseburgers.
I mean, I remember my first time I went. We went out to eat with our youth coach, basketball coach, and it was just me and four other kids on the team, and we just all assumed coach had money to pay
everyone, right?
Yeah, but he was just this 25-year-old kid. But at the time, that's an adult, man.
Yeah.
And he ordered his food, and we were like, and he said, did you think I was paying for you guys? And we were like, yeah. He was like, no, I don't have money to pay for you guys. So we didn't eat.
But you have a beard, dude.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't come with money.
That doesn't mean you're a man with money. Yeah,
but you know what else? Just like my son always thought, well, just put your credit card in there. It's got money on there.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I see you use it. Yeah, but there's money. Yeah, just use that money. They also, like, at a young age, I remember Jacob, in particular, you realize the generation. I remember the first time I told him, I go, hey, listen, dude, if you keep up with this shit, I'm going to take your phone and you're going to have to use a payphone. And he was like, you mean the one you buy in 7-Eleven? I go, no, motherfucker.
that is a payphone, the kids today.
Yeah, I go, no, dude, the phone booth. He was like, phone booth?
Yeah, what Superman you can change in, dude?
Come on, bro.
What?
Get your shit together with the phone. Yeah, there was a lot. Have you seen that video online about those high school kids trying to figure out how to use a rotary phone?
Yes, I have seen that. My stepson, this was before my daughter was born. It's probably maybe 8 years ago now. He was probably 8 because he's 16. But we went to a buddy's house, and they had the phone hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
The push button, you know, and the cord hanging down. He walked over, and he goes, what is this?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's when I was like, oh, that's, yeah, that made me feel old. Like, that's a fucking phone. He's like, how do you use it? I'm like, you wrap it around your motherfucking neck like this, you little young motherfucker.
Do you remember, you know who I thought was rich? It was people who had the extra long cords on their phone. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, you got the 4-foot cord? You're rich. If you had a 4-foot cord and you had a refrigerator in your garage for your soda, you were the wealthiest people.
Yeah, you were like, oh, wow.
You have grape soda fridges out there?
Yeah.
You have more than one type of soda? You're the richest person that I know.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Columbia College. With tuition at Columbia College, your education is one low price. There are no fees. There are no book costs. There are no surprises. Don't play games with getting your education, all right? Tuition lets you budget for the true cost of college. They've eliminated all the fees from the application to graduation. They provide e-textbooks at no charge. And with e-text, you can highlight important sections and add personal notes to the material. You can also convert e-text to audiobooks so you can listen to content on the go. Tuition is for all undergraduate and graduate students taking classes online or in the evening at any of the 30-plus locations. Columbia College was founded in 1851 and has been accredited for more than 100 years. 8-week classes are held year-round so you can earn a degree quickly. Their mission is to improve lives by making college affordable. That's the truth. That's tuition. Apply today at mytruition.com/honeydew. That's mytruition.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew.
Well, let me ask you something, man. Has there ever been anything that your kid has said to you that has hurt your feelings?
Not there's been one thing that happened that was, again, it's just my ego, me wanting to be a dad, but we were at a friend's house, and his daughter's got so many goddamn stuffed animals. I call it Stuffy Mountain. This fucking thing is a monster, and the kids dive off of it like, you know, Jimmy Snuka, head first into the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, there's a table right here. Watch where you're going. You're going to bust your head. And I'm putting, like, and I'm talking about those, the kind of stuffed animals that the rookie guy that goes to the amusement park throws the baseball and wins it early. And they're like, no, you got to carry it the rest of the day. Like, I can't keep it here and get it at the end of the day. Nah, bro, you got to carry it. That asshole that won the teddy bear way too early, it's walking with it on his shoulder. Fucking rookie move, bro. Those kind of stuffies. Okay. So I'm putting them around.
You mean the kind that has a hole in it?
If you're
going
to try to impress a girl, guys, and you want to win that big ass stuffed animal, do it right before the park closes. All right. I'm putting them around the table and shit. And as I'm putting it down, my daughter, and I'm going to give her a fucking 10 on the form. I mean, just like an eagle sword. And I mean, boom, head right into it. And I was like, oh, fuck. And it's that delayed. And then she just started crying. And it's the first time she didn't want me. She goes, get away from me.
That hurts.
Just get away. Go. I don't want you. I want to be by myself. And I was like,
it hurts a little bit.
She's 4.
But it is ego.
And I was like,
you're
God damn. I'm like, all right. I'm walking all slow. You sure?
But dude.
But it's really me. Not her.
You sure you don't want to hug me?
Yeah, you sure? You sure I can't hug you?
Because I'm about to cry right now.
My head's hurting now too, God damn.
Dude, you know what? It's so much ego. Hey, my kids are older, right? All of my kids, 2 of them, have called somebody else dad. That, again, that's an ego thing too, because I'm like, I earned that.
Yeah.
I earned that. And Beth was the one who was like, hey, you can't let that stuff, you know your place. I'm like, do I? because after what had happened, it had happened after what happened with my daughter. I'm like, do I know my place? But to hear my youngest son call somebody else dad was heartbreaking, isn't the right word. It was, and I had talked to Beth about it. I'm like, I don't know how I recover from that. She was like, you're taking it as an insult to you. It's not an insult to you. They're not insulting you.
I think your immediate reaction isn't wrong at all. Like that, right. I think that's a normal, like, I'm hearing it and I'm feeling it in my chest right now. Like,
have you heard your daughter call somebody dad?
Oh.
Because don't you feel like, look, there's somebody who's your father.
Yeah.
But there's somebody who's your dad.
Yeah.
And you,
anyone can be a father.
Yes.
Yes.
That dad is earned. Yeah. Now, I had a birthday where I'll tell you, I turned 50, right?
I can't get over it. You look fantastic.
And Jacob, as a joke, he goes, from here on out, I'm calling you Pops. And he was calling me Pops, Pops, Pops. And then later, you know, we did the whole weekend. It was funny. But later, he called me Pops at one point in time, and he looked at me, and he was like, that hurt your feelings? I said, no. I said, you can call me Pops all you want. I think it's funny. It's fun. I don't really care. But as long as that doesn't replace you calling me dad sometimes. Because when you call me dad, it means so much to me. I'm going to try not to cry. It means so much to me because I know how much you guys mean to me.
Right.
I know how much we all did this together. And dad is something to me that...
It's three letters that represent everything.
It means like... It's the thing that I'm most proud of.
Yeah, me too.
It's the thing I'm most proud of.
Absolutely.
So, and I just told him, I go, I don't mind you calling me Pops. The relationship we've had always been laughing and joking with each other, but you calling me dad can't go away. That would be the one thing to me that would be just heartbreaking. And he was like, okay, Pops, I get that. I was like, yeah. He's just like me. He's an asshole.
Yeah. Let me step on your neck a little harder. As I'm getting up, let me put it on there and I'll get off.
Let me push that knife. Yeah, you fucked me. But yeah, man, you know, there's a lot in my life in general. I've had to learn, and this has been a later in life thing for me, not to take things as everything. As personally, because I found, I'm like, why are you taking things personally? It's such an ego thing. Not everything everybody does that affects you, they do to affect you, right? It's just like, I tell people all the time, just because you're not included doesn't mean you're excluded.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So just because this happens, that doesn't mean that person did that to harm you. They're just living their life. Right?
Yeah.
The way they want to live their life. Right. That doesn't mean they're thinking about how it affects you.
No. And especially a 16-year-old that makes the decision. Like, they didn't think, like, I wonder how this is going to make my dad feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm glad they don't think that way.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
No.
If you're doing your job, they're not thinking about, unless it's like, look, I'm going to rob the house. You know, it's something like that. But things that they decide for their own house, their own life, they shouldn't be like, I wonder what my dad and mom, I wonder how it's going to affect them. They should be living their life.
Yes.
If you've done your job.
That's right.
And so I have really had to work on that personally and professionally. I remember having a conversation with Brody not long before he died, where we were sitting in that back little row in the OR.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to me about going on the road, and he was like, man, I wish I just had a tenth of your success on the road, just a little bit, so I see it in the money, you know, money wise. He wasn't doing that well. He was like, I just would like, and I said, you know what, dude, if I had a tenth of the respect that you have from other comics, and he was like, that doesn't mean anything. I'm like, to me, that means...
I can tell you right now, that room ain't filling up like that when I'm out of here.
Right?
Hell no! Three rooms, live via satellite.
No.
I mean, it was amazing. No.
And
there's very few people that you'll ever see that for.
Ever.
Yeah.
And to see the room at 1 in the morning fill up.
Filled.
fill up. People walk in out in out of other rooms into. But I was like, if I had an ounce, just a tenth of the respect that you had from our peers. But and he asked me, he was like, why is that important to you? And I couldn't I still can't answer that entirely. But it's the one thing in my life that I want to work on so desperately, Ryan. I don't
to understand that
to understand
to work on when you say work on it, what do you mean?
I don't want to feel that way anymore.
I see.
I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to say I care less about, obviously it's important what the people who come to my shows and all that shit. And, but the respect of my peers is something I have to figure out why it means so much to me. Why there's that giant hole. And I know people respect me personally and like me personally, but like, I would bet you, if you there's a lot people watch comedy specials all the time. I would bet you I know maybe two peers that have watched my special. My special's doing. You know who I equate it to? I used to tour Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
And it was one of the conversations I would have with him all the time. He sold 50,000 tickets.
It's insane.
It at one show.
Right, one show.
But he and I would talk. And he'd be like, it burns me up why those people don't give me my respect. What else do I...
Right. What do I have to do?
What else do I need to do?
But also, isn't it crazy, too, in a way, like, why do you even care about that?
I kept asking him. I'm like, dude, you just sold 50,000 tickets.
What do you give a shit, right? But
there was a difference between he and, like... I got a chance to hang out with Foxworthy and those guys. And I think Foxworthy... I may be wrong, but I think he has number 2 and 3 top selling comedy albums of all time. And in the top 20.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I think he and Cable Guy have 8 or 9 out of the top 20 of all time.
That's incredible.
But if you asked our peers, give me your top 10 comics of all time, you think either one of them would crack the list?
No.
Not even close, right?
No. Maybe close. Maybe top 20. I think you got to put them in there.
But
not top 10. You're right.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And Foxworthy, it didn't bother him. And Cable Guy, and it doesn't anymore. I called him recently about this, and he told me what his way of thinking was and all that, but like it really sat with him for a long time. And I want to figure out for me, man, why? What is it about that I don't have that I can fill up some other way?
Yeah.
Because there are some nights, man, I'm not going to lie to you, it keeps me up.
Really?
Keeps me up.
I've always cared about the love and respect of the people I love and respect. Outside of that, I feel like you just try to be the best person you can be, and out there, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, man, like, the fact that I'm not an asshole, and I know the people... Right.
We haven't talked to your ex. She's on next week. We'll see.
Yo, I would. That would be amazing.
We decided we wanted to actually leave you and go to her too. So we're gonna cut this right here.
We're actually gonna video her.
We're gonna video conference her.
It's gonna be our new show, Night Pants.
the night pants segment right here, guy.
But yeah, man. But how has that never been something that you've wrestled with?
No, I look. The truth of it is, you know, not to a point where it keeps. No, I don't lose any sleep over it. I don't even think about it.
Keeps me up like
much.
When I come home from the store, I come home from the Laugh Factory yeah. or something, and if something hit me, it's the only thing that when it gets in my head, I just rabbit hole it.
I go to childhood with everything, as we all do, but when your own parent...
So you stick your finger in your asshole?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. It still suits me. It's probably why I don't get the recognition that I should get.
Ryan, we're in the green room. It calms me down. It calms me down.
Look, guys, I'm on the show, and this is what I need.
But by the way, I wouldn't eat the hummus. I dipped in there.
But when your own parent is just rejects you, it, you know, and you can't win that back, you can't win that back.
Yeah.
Then why do you give a fuck about winning anybody else's, you know? I never really cared so much about that as much as I just wanted to be good and, you know, respected is a better word.
Yeah.
You know, just respected. When anyone talked about me, it was positive or, you know, it was in a good light or whatever. And I certainly want enough people that talk shit about me because that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
I like stuff that gets back to me. I'm like, they said that. I never met that guy.
That is some fun yeah. stuff. I there was a guy, just so you know, who, and I won't put him on blast, but he opened for me. And
what date? What venue?
and so I had heard going in that a couple years before, he had talked shit about my style of comedy, had questioned why.
But why did you let him open for you then? Or was he was assigned?
He was assigned.
Okay.
I could have changed it.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, all right, let me just go in and do it. And I asked him about it afterwards. I go, hey, man. And it was Saturday after the late show. I go, hey, man. He was like, great weekend. I go, yeah, hey, listen. So I heard a couple years ago, and I heard from this dude who is a guy that we both know is not a dude who's going to mince words, and he's going to tell you what he heard.
Pretty sure I know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody knows. Yeah.
And he told me this. He told me you said this. I've known this dude for half my life, so pretty sure he's not lying to me. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what you want me to say. And I was like, well, why did you, and like, and what did you think after the weekend? So for me, I'm all about, you might have in your mind about what I do, or as long as I get a chance to get up in front of you and show you what I do and prove you that I don't mind. That kind of shit drives me. It's the stuff of people that I started with or who are my age who are just dismissive of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
But it all goes back to ego.
It does. It's 100% ego, yeah. Man. It's 100% ego. And every time I start to spiral on it, I get mad at myself. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
I'm like, oh, Larry Jones didn't like that joke?
Yeah.
Like, fuck him.
What? I'm like, what the fuck, dude? It's the one thing that we all have these things that we want to work on ourselves about. This is the one thing. But I just can't put my finger on why it makes me spiral.
Do you feel like it's disrespectful?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Respect?
Yes. It's all, for me, it's respect.
So you just want, that's what I'm saying, is respect for me. I don't need the admiration.
Me neither. I don't need you to like what I'm doing.
Hey, that guy's been at it a while, doing good for himself, whatever, you know, I don't care.
I don't need you to like what I do.
Anyone that can do
that,
too.
Yes, dude. I'm sure there are people you respect that you don't think are funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at one right now. But...
Listen, your ex is going to make up for it. Your ex is going to make up for
it. But there is a guy, man, I will tell you, who's a well-respected comic, who's about my age,
mm-hmm.
who I would punch in the face right now.
Tell me after we get off.
I
want to know.
I would punch him. I would love to walk into the Comedy Store tonight and punch that motherfucker right in his smug-ass face.
Because why?
He's so dismissive
to
of me.
You or just to you? Okay.
So dismissive that even people I don't think are funny, man. If you're a comic, and this is one thing that people who aren't comics don't know. If you're a comic and you've been doing it for a little while, I can have a conversation with you. Because there are some things I know inherently about you. Right?
And that you know about this.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I can have a conversation with you. There's some things I know about you that I feel more comfortable talking to you than I do other people.
Right.
Well, I've been doing this a long time. This other dude's been, he know, just a respect, a hello. You don't have to come in or sit in the back and watch me in the OR, but as a peer, as someone who does what you do, to be dismissive, it's just really a difficult one for me. And I maybe I'll just punch him in the face.
I mean, please let me know when you're going. Let me know when you're going. I'm like, I didn't even see this coming.
But you know,
recorded that episode 3 weeks ago. I've been waiting on this,
dude. But it's the stand-up stuff, because the stuff around Hollywood doesn't bother me as much. When CMT canceled my show that you were on.
So I, yeah, used to have a CMT show that I was on with Joey Diaz. We were all on an episode together. Yep. And Joey was Joey, mm-hmm, to the point where they had to cut him out of the entire episode. Yeah. They did.
There were a couple shots
just
of him laughing.
The wide shots. Like, he doesn't say a word.
There was a
you
couple.
You talk about a honeydew episode. You got cut him the whole thing. He got cut out. He didn't say one thing where they were like, we could let that go.
Well, you know, that whole show, man, I would send them lists of my friends, and they were like, we don't think they're right for this demo. I'm like, it doesn't matter. These are my friends. I'm putting my friends on TV. I don't know how long I'm going to have this show. So as long as I have this show, the people sitting in front of me are going to be my friends. I remember when I sent him Tripoli's name, and they were like, what? They were like, you want him on the country music channel? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, but he's not, what's he going to say? I'm like, I don't know, but he's funny as fuck. Let's put him on the fucking show. But when they canceled that show, a week later, in a breakdown for CMT, they were looking for a host, and it said, looking for a Josh Wolf type.
I mean,
now listen, man, they just had Josh Wolf a week ago.
You know what it is? You're too on the nose.
You're too Josh Wolf.
No, I mean, you're too Josh Wolf. All right, we're looking for a Josh Wolf type. Translation, somebody in their 20s. Okay. Then we could pay a lot less.
Oh, that's just like, I told you that story about NBC.
It's my favorite one. I tell, anytime I have a conversation with someone in the industry that's struggling with, they don't want to let me be on the show. They don't want me to host it. They don't want me to be an EP. They don't want me to write on it. They just want the show. You know, they don't even want me to just want to buy me out, whatever it is. I always tell them the story you told me about pitching to NBC, the Josh Wolf show, and they loved the pitch. It was a great idea, great show. And then they said, "Who do you see playing Josh Wolf?"
To
your face.
To my face.
To your face.
All serious, too. Right? And this was, by the way, this was a younger Josh Wolf. So you couldn't give me the excuse of like,
I mean, it sounds like all these networks are looking for a Josh Wolf type.
I looked right
at Josh Wolf types out there. Time is right for you guys.
But here's the thing. Yo, I by the way, I looked right at him. I said, me. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh my God.
Hadn't even been an angle we even considered.
Huh.
Huh.
You to play you. but all those things don't bother me like the comedian stuff. None of that. Right. I don't give a fuck about those people. I care what other comics think about me and what I do. That means a lot. Because I work, man, I work really hard.
We all do.
That lack of respect drives me, like, I can't tell you. I have a list on my computer of people that I feel like have slighted me.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
How long is it?
I mean, how many years have I been doing it?
No, how many people are on that motherfucker? Well, it sounds like it's unhealthy, so I'm sure you've been at it for a while.
Oh, it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy as fuck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not good. I think I started it on my Gateway computer. How about that? When I had my Earthlink email address. You know what I'm saying? jowolf@earthlink.net.
I forgot about the Gateway cow boxes.
Yeah. That came in a cow box? Hell yeah. I started it on that computer in
1900s?
Holy 1998.
Shit. How many people are on it?
I'll tell you. I can tell you what.
You know what I used to do until I gave up that unhealthy obsession?
Huh. Did you do that?
I used to keep their business card. Oh. Anyone that ever slighted me, I had their business card. And I was going to make a collage out of it. And I was like,
listen,
what the fuck am I doing here? Now I'm a Josh Wolf type.
There,
and they won't even see me at NBC or CMT.
How about
How
about this? There was a script that I wrote that I heard somebody, and I sent to somebody who was my agent at the time. And he sent me the note back. Nobody's ever going to buy this. And I said, all right, that's your note. You're now the gatekeeper. You're not going to distribute this to people that I'm asking you to. You're going to tell me.
Let me put him on my Gateway computer.
Oh, yeah.
Add you to the list, you son of a bitch.
When I sold that script.
You did. Good.
Oh, yeah. I sent him an email with the proof that I sold it. And I just wrote, sold it. Do you remember what you said to me? Period. Sent. Just, and you know what? Crossed them off my list. And I was like, all right, that's one. And that list right now, if you really want to know how many people on that list, 32.
32?
Yeah.
God.
32.
I want to see that motherfucking list. I'm guessing it's probably 85, 90, 10 male to female.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's always the dicks.
I bet you it's 80% comics. No, not anymore.
Oh, there's some people on there that aren't even comedians?
Oh, yeah, there's some execs.
Oh, this is a life list.
There's execs. Yeah, dude.
Oh, man, even more unhealthy. I love it. Who's on there the outside of comedy that you, without saying who they are, can you talk about it?
There are some people that worked at NBC. you know the very first dude, you know the very first pilot I had was at ABC for my life story. And you know my table read at my table, you know who read the roles? Ryan Reynolds.
For who?
Busy Phillips.
Who would Ryan Reynolds read? Do you remember?
There was a show on called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Which later became Two Guys and a Girl.
Right. And so Ryan was on that show. And he played my brother in the table read.
Okay.
For ABC. Busy Phillips. What was his name? Raul Gomez Paulo. Great character actor. I forget his. But one of the guys, the execs at ABC at the time, he's on the list.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Because he said something to me after that read where I was like, okay. Guess where you're going.
Do you have a name for the list? Or is it just the list?
It's just the
list.
That's
all you need.
And sometimes, man, when I feel complacent.
You're going on the list.
Sometimes when I feel complacent, I pull up that list.
Do you?
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. And I know it's unhealthy, dude. I know it is. But I also know that sometimes when I'm like, man, I don't want to get up and do this, whatever, I go look at that list. I go, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because this Josh Wolf type is booking a show.
God damn it. God damn it.
God, it's one of the reasons that not only do I love doing Control Chaos, love it, but I want to sell that show, man. Because I also want to prove to myself that you can really do exactly what you want to do.
You can, yeah.
Because that show is exactly what I want to
do.
So you can really do exactly what you want to do and still be successful. You don't have to take what the town says or what the networks are saying, the people are watching or not watching. You can do exactly what you want to do and make it good. And I think that's what people are gravitating towards now. Authenticity is more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. I mean, people want to know who you are, yes.
80s comics, where there was not a lot of authenticity.
It's one thing to get up. It's an art form to get up and do 5 minutes of stand-up, and in that 5 minutes, tell an entire audience of people who don't know the fuck you are, what you're all about, and that you're funny and that you can write, all that shit. It's another thing to do an hour of material, keep an audience laughing, and then weekly to get on to a podcast or whatever else you're doing, whether it's the live streams or whatever. You can't, there's nobody that's going to be 20 hilarious 24/7. So like you say, authentic and real, that's what people want to see. Like, oh, this guy is a real person who's funny as shit. But
do you feel like
smokes weed with baby
do you feel like, man, you're a better 5-minute comic, 15-minute comic, or hour comic?
Hour.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just because story, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not that Anthony Jeselnik, can do an hour and a half of Slay and also 5 minutes of just fucking fire.
Fire.
Yeah. No, that's not me.
When I see like people go, you want to do a late night set? I'm like, that's not my best foot forward. 5 minutes of me is not, it's not terrible, but if you're just watching 5 minutes, I tell, like you, I tell stories and I meander a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know, I wish I could do I had that skill set just to fucking, I took a job.
It's funny, isn't it? It's like people who paint, you know, so many people paint different. I only paint landscape, but you can't paint, like, you're a good painter. You can't paint that. No, man, I do landscapes. But can you do portraits? No, I fucking do landscapes, motherfucker.
That is so crazy. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Painter. Yeah. So some people have that Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Some people have the Ron White, you know, some people got the Pryor, some people, you know, and most people steal and bite from everybody.
Who would you say, by the way, you're closest to?
I mean, I grew up listening to Richard Pryor, and I'm not putting myself on that level at all. But the way he was very open about his personal life and stuff, I would say I more that than anybody else, probably.
I think the first comic, and I'm not like him at all. The first comic I ever really was like, oh, what is this guy saying? Was Kinison.
Wow, yeah. I just, you know, it's funny. Just like 2 weeks ago, I sat down and watched Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedians, and I watched Dice, Kinison, Robert Townsend. Who else was on there, too?
You know, I opened for Kinison.
Did you?
Did I ever tell you the story, dude?
No. I want to hear it now, though. I didn't know you did that. He's a legend. We love Sam Kinison so much, my brothers and I. He had that HBO, that Rodney Dangerfield, and we were at my grandma's. After my dad died, and we're living with my grandma. And we're like, Grandma, you got to watch this comedian. She's like, who's this guy?
Oh, no.
And we put Sam Kinison on. And she, right away, he starts screaming with that little, you know, that laugh. She's like, turn this off. Turn it off. And then he gets to the part where he's talking about the woman wants to fuck him harder, and he's talking about driving back in the car into shit. And that's the point where she starts dying laughing. She can't, like, it got to her. You know, him just going, like, it finally it clicked for her. She's like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Crazy.
And as soon as he started talking about fucking harder, she lost her shit and sat there and watched all the rest of it with us and loved every second of it.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. I was 21. It was maybe the fourth time I'd ever been on stage, and I won a comedy competition in San Antonio at a bar called Huey's on St. Mary's Street. I won the competition because the audience voted, and I brought all my friends. And I think you won, like, free drinks for the night, which was all I was. So maybe a week or two later, I got a phone call. Sam's opener was Carl LeBeau.
Yep.
And by the way, one of the all-times.
Yeah, absolutely. The last show he did in California before he split, I was on with him. And then when he came back after that whole crazy story, I put him on a show I was producing at the Hollywood Improv. So I was on the last one with him in California. And then for whatever it was, 10, 12 years later, I gave him the spot on the first one back.
He is one of the most underrated comedians of all time. So I believe his dad had passed of HIV or AIDS. He passed on the way to San Antonio. So he kicked off from the tour. And Bill, Sam's brother, who was his manager, called and said, I heard there was a comedy competition. Who won? We need that guy to open up for Sam. Will you call him?
Wow.
So I'm in my dorm room.
So the you're about to tell me the fifth time you ever did stand-up comedy was in front of a Sam Kinison audience?
Yes.
Was he already at the Wild Thing phase and everything? Like, he had already hit the rock and roll, literal rock and roll status.
We played at a rock club called Sneakers in San Antonio. Now, you are already foreshadowing how bad that set was, because you know. You know how bad that was.
Well, it went from major comedy crowds to arenas, like, just so, but once you're there.
But his crowd also wasn't a comedy crowd per se. It was a rockin'.
Yes,
it was
Billy
a rock,
Idol guy. Yeah, all
it was a rock
guys
show. The guys
them.
Who showed up were tatted out, and this is one when every fucking
what
asshole
was her
had
name?
A tattoo.
The girl rolling around in the Wild Thing video. She was big. In
Jessica.
The,
yes. Not Rabbit.
Human version of,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
human
she was.
Version of.
So they go, "You want to open for Sam?" I said, "Yeah, fuck yeah." And so all of a sudden I'm thinking, this comedy shit's easy.
Yeah, right.
Just
yeah.
won a comedy competition.
An hour ago.
And now I'm opening up Guinness.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me get my outfit ready.
Yeah, right.
Do you want, first of all.
Hold on. I want to ask a million questions.
Okay.
All right. They call you. Of course you say yes.
Yes.
Now you drive there.
My girlfriend drove me.
Okay. And how, do you know how much time you're doing before you get there?
No.
Okay. So you get there, you go in, do you meet them? Do they let
kind
you?
Of.
Do they let you in the green room or anything? How's
kind
it goes?
Of.
All right. So walk us through when you get there.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what I'm wearing first?
Yeah.
I'm a little confused as far as fashion wise at this point in time in my life. But I did have my hair in a ponytail.
How? You had long hair?
Oh yeah. But wait, I hate to admit this. Bangs. Bangs. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm telling you. Okay.
Long hair in the front is always worse than long hair in the back. All right. What are you, kind of pants are you wearing? Are they leather?
Man, I'm wearing some tight acid wash jeans.
Oh, my God.
With some.
What year is this?
91 or 2.
And how old are you then?
21-ish.
Okay. Right? All right. So acid wash jeans, ponytail with bangs.
Wait. And you know, I didn't really have sneakers or anything, but you know what I had? You know, like some black, like dress shoes. You know what I mean?
Like loafers?
Like you'd wear with a suit.
Like with slacks?
Yeah, with slacks, yeah. Exactly. These are your slack shoes.
These are my slack shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait a
this
second.
Is what you're wearing.
Wait a second.
Wait, do the jeans have holes or tears in them, or are they just acid wash?
Just acid wash.
Okay. All right.
I'm wearing one of those thin black belts that, you know, has the silver point at the top. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the silver. All right. I have
pleather. It's pleather.
Oh, wait.
Shit.
I had a blue button down shirt like you would wear at a Blockbuster,
mm-hmm.
tucked into those jeans.
Yeah, of course.
With a black motorcycle jacket on top. So black motorcycle jacket, blue button down shirt, acid wash jeans, slack shoes, ponytail bangs. And I think
earrings. You have earrings back then?
No, man. No. What kind of guy you think?
You just neck down.
Yeah.
Huh? You're just an asshole from the neck down.
Yeah. Oh, neck up too. I had the bangs with the ponytail.
You did have bangs with the ponytail. Yeah. Yeah.
So, show up. Now, by the way, you know,
do you have a picture from back then? Or
I just might. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, man. Walking in, I'm not hip to what this rock and roll crowd, but these are bikers.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
These are
so how,
hardcore.
And how many, does this seat, what does this venue hold? Would you
man,
say?
I honestly,
1,000 is big, right?
It was standing room. I remember, honestly, I remember the stage. It's gotta be somewhere between 500 and 1,000.
Okay.
It seems
so. That's a shitload. I mean,
for your fifth time
to ever do stand up.
So, and I had won the comedy competition on 5 minutes, but 3 of those minutes was making fun of my friends in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
Right. So, we get there, I meet him a little bit.
You do? Okay, you meet
him. Just real quick, and Bill's like, hey, so listen, doing 2 shows. He said, this first show, just like do 25, and I was like,
20 fucking 5 minutes?
Do 25. Like, can you imagine doing 25 minutes the fifth time you were on stage?
No.
In front of Kinison's crowd?
No.
You know how little they wanted to see me as it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ryan, I walk on stage. And as I'm walking on stage to the mic, no intro, no just me. I hear from the crowd, because I looked 15, and I just hear from the crowd, "Hey, you better be funny, Bobby Brady."
That's before you hit the mic. Yeah.
Is this the night the list started?
Yeah.
Is this the night the list started?
Called you Bobby Brady.
Bobby Brady, right?
And that dude just spoke for everybody.
Yo, not Greg. Not Greg. Yeah, Bobby. I get to the mic. Let me tell you how bad it was going. It was going so bad, dude, that they stopped heckling me and just started talking to each other.
It wasn't even fun anymore. No. To beat you. They were tired of beating you up.
But dude, let me tell you something, right? At one point, they were all talking so loudly. I was talking to myself. I'm like, nobody's really hearing what I'm saying. I'm just saying up here talking to myself. Nobody was even responding. But then people started to walk into the room, and I realized I was like 15 minutes in. So I started repeating my set for the people. I was like, hey, I know you guys missed my jokes, so I'm gonna, and then when I said I missed your jokes, I opened myself up to, you're not missing, you didn't miss anything.
That's Bobby Brady, motherfucker, about to wrap up.
Right, okay. So, I did my set in that 25 minute, my planned jokes, 3 different times.
You did?
I opened with them, I put them in the middle, and I closed with them. Yeah,
And then you had to do a second show after that?
So I get off stage.
Same night, or you doing back to back nights?
Same night. I get off stage. You know, this was when Sam was sober.
Yeah.
But not really.
Mm-hmm.
So in between first and second show, things go a little haywire. And Bill says to me, hey, I may need you to do a little more time the second show.
Fuck. You're like, I can repeat it. I'll do it four times.
And I said to him, I go, did you watch the first show? And he goes, no, I wasn't back. I had to go. I'm like, not that great. And he was like, it's all right, just get to Sam. He said, they won't remember you. Just fill the time. And he said, at about 25 minutes, look over at me. And if I give you this sign, wrap it up. But if I give you this sign, you got to keep going.
That's first. I remember the first time I saw that on stage.
So he gave me the more sign.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At 25 minutes, he was like, keep going. Man, I was saying things like, you know, I bought these shoes for the show, so I thought they'd look good, or these pants. Nobody's saying it. They're talking to each other. I'm looking at my girlfriend. I'm like, why are we still here?
Who does your bag?
I think I did 32 the second show.
Did you really?
Of just torture.
That is such a long time.
Torture.
To be on stage for any reason.
Torture. But to be on stage in front of people who didn't want to see you.
Yes. Shitload of them, too.
Okay, but I'll tell you something.
Also, who couldn't get tickets to that first show. They really wanted to go. So they're like, I got to work tomorrow, motherfucker. Get out of here.
I'll tell you something. This is an actual conversation I had with my girlfriend driving home at the time. She was, you know, she was like, well, you got that out of your system. And I told her straight up, I go, oh, no. I said, I'm not going out like that. I said, I may never be a stand-up comic, but that's not the last time I'm standing on stage.
I'm going all the way to the top till somebody doesn't want Josh Wolf to be Josh motherfucking Wolf.
But I told her, I said, I'm walking off a stage with a good experience. I said, so I'm going to do stand-up again. I'm not fucking flopping out like that.
Yeah.
there was no way I was going to let that experience be the one that chased me. If I was going to quit, it was going to be because I didn't want to do it. But I wasn't going to quit. But I ate shit that night worse than I could have ever imagined ever eating. Like, at least there'd be one person paying attention. Not even my girlfriend was paying attention the second show. She even asked me. She goes, hey. I go, yeah. She goes, you doing the same material the second show? I go, what material?
All five times. Yeah. All five times, yeah.
Yeah, every fucking, yeah. Every time. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, that was, oh my God. That was such, was it the worst? I may have bombed worse two Christmases ago.
Doing what?
I did a Christmas party in a ballroom.
Already. I've been there. That I'm already seeing it.
It wasn't long this way. It was long wide.
Yeah. Little dance floor just right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it sat 1,500 people.
Jesus.
They had one.
What was the company?
I don't want to say who they were.
Was it a corporation or something?
Like, no.
Was it an Armenian dentist?
Yes.
Was it really? No. Because that's what mine was.
No.
Mine was an Armenian dentist.
Okay.
Motherfucker had a lot of fucking clients.
I'll tell you who it was because it wasn't their fault. It was for a bunch of police officers.
Okay. Wait a minute. Was it the robbery? I was the LAPD.
This was in LA.
Robbery and homicide Christmas comedian a while ago. That robbery and homicide
division.
How'd that go? It went fucking great. But like, they were like, you can't cuss. I was like, you guys look at dead bodies all day. I can't cuss. They're like, nope. It was daytime. It was Christmas. It was at a country club. And they had one of those old school podiums where the metal mic just like you could, it just went from here to here. Just it was just long enough to unplug it.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
not to bring it to my mouth, not the wall. I was like, what? So I just stood there and I started going. The first thing I did was go through their open cases.
You did?
I was like, who's on that Biggie Smalls case, guys? Let's go. RFK, there's still some outstanding questions for RFK. And I just went through all that. OJ, who is on that case? And they would point to each other like, they're amazing. On that shit.
That was not. I felt bad for these guys. Because whoever set it up, man, they just had that one, you know, the one DJ speaker that you would see at a bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
On one.
You got to stand right here in this
room. For the whole room.
If you move a little bit left or right, you're going to get a lot of reverb.
And only 40 people could hear me. There were times, Ryan, okay. There were times where I was on the dance floor, you know, that wooden dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing my set. And so Adam,
were you in your slack shoes?
No, I was in my night pants. And I want to show you what would happen. So say you're doing stand up here and there's like, okay, there would be people because nobody could hear me on either side. So 1,000 of the people couldn't hear me. Who would just walk over with plates of food?
Right.
Right. I was just doing my stand up and they would just walk right across the
fresh from the buffet.
Yeah, yeah. Right across with a plate of food. And I was like, this is fucking worst. Yeah. But that to me, man, if you don't have those experiences, you're not a comic. You need a couple of those.
You gotta eat shit.
Hard.
Yeah, you do. It's the same. Well, it's life. You know, if you always given everything, you'll never appreciate shit.
Yeah.
You know, the moment you get it, like you say, if you earn the name dad, you earn that, you know, and that's why it feels a certain way.
Dude, I'll tell you something. All my kids were like, are you going to buy me a car? And I told them no. And Jacob, he was like, if you won $100 million lottery, would you buy me a car? And I said, no. And he said, why not? And I said, because you're going to trash that car. You're not going to care about that car because you have no concept of money and what it takes to save up and buy a car. I remember the first car I really took care of was the first car that I bought.
Right.
I had respect for where that money came from, how hard it was to save up that money. And I don't know when I'm going to find that money again. I'm going to take care of this fucking car. And like you, things like that, I think are important. You have to learn that. It's same with eating shit. You can't. That's why a lot of
there's
comics,
a way to you have to learn. I tell my daughter this all the time. Like you have to learn how to lose.
Yeah.
There's a way to lose. There's a lesson to be learned from it. Don't just get all mad about
you
it.
Tell this, her make
this,
a
this,
list.
This. I was like, you get a fucking list. Together. There's an old gateway you can dust off in the back. But you're a great dad, dude. You and I, we recently went to the Lowell's Cafe here.
That was so much fun, man.
That was so much fun. Justin Martindale, you, me, your son, Jake, and your wife was there for a minute.
Yeah.
And then bounced.
Yeah.
And I was telling both of you at the time, you know, I'd always thought, and I'm pro marijuana. I smoke weed. I always thought I would never smoke weed with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Maybe when they're a parent or something, and you know, but then when we sat down at this cafe, this beautiful cafe, the food is fantastic. People kept saying, "Oh, you guys were high." I was like, "No, why would you go back to a place that you can smoke anywhere in California.
Yeah.
I'm not going to a Denny's just because I can smoke weed.
It has
there.
To be good food.
Yes.
Yeah.
So great food, great atmosphere. People were off their phones. They're talking. They're engaging. We're not seeing fist fights up at the fucking bar. It's a weed fucking place. And I see your son smoking and then you guys smoking. I was like, you know what? It changed my whole perspective because never did I ever think about a place like that smoking. It was always, I always figured it'd be like, you know, a barbecue or, you know what I mean? Like the first time I had a sip of my dad's beer was like at a 4th of July
yeah.
or some shit. And when I saw that, because I thought, oh, I'd have a beer or a glass of wine with my daughter when she's 21 or whatever. But yeah, I mean, shit, in 15, 20 fucking years, So it changed my mind on everything. Like, I guess the point is you have to be open to thoughts, new thoughts and change and you know, because it's going to happen whether you fucking like it or not.
Yeah.
You know?
My theory with my kids was always like, I would rather have them, I'd rather know than not know.
Yeah.
By the way, I snooped on all of them and they were there. I found things that I didn't like. But in my deal, I would always told myself, you're snooping for safety. If you see something where you're like, oh, this is bad for them, I'm going to say something. If it's just something that I don't agree with, that wasn't it.
Right.
I found a tobacco vape in my son's room when he was like 16. And I called him in. I go, hey, man, I found this vape. And he was like, were you in my room looking around? I said, I was in my room.
Every room in this house is my room.
Yeah.
That is right. I was
in the room, my room that you live in.
That's right. Rent free.
Yep. And I found this, and you know what my deal is with this. And he was like, I said, hey, nope. And I said, by the way, the reason there's no lock on any doors is because I'm in your shit. Just know that. I'm in your shit. And I've seen everything in your room, man. And his face went blank. And I said, and I've never said anything. Because those are some choices that you or some people you want to hang out with or whatever that's not for me. But this that is bad for you, that I think is unhealthy for you, I'm in your shit. This is not happening in my house.
Yeah.
But when people say, I don't snoop, it trust with your kids are dumb. They're going to make really stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Part of your job is to try to make sure those mistakes don't happen. Right? So I've read a diary or two. There's some shit where I was like, oh my God, I wish I could talk about this on stage. God, this is
my new hour right here. God damn it.
But some shit I just couldn't. But there were some things where I was like, hey, this concerns me.
Yeah.
I won't say which one, but one of my kids did some self-harming shit. And I had to snoop to find that out. But I'm glad I did, because then that child went to therapy,
mm-hmm.
and we fixed it. And we fixed it because I snooped, because I was. I know kids are dumb and they hide things and they have their own fucking. No matter how confident, no matter what teenage kid, the star quarterback is also the most insecure kid.
Sure,
they're everybody at that age.
That's right.
So they're gonna make dumb mistakes and they're gonna question themselves. And how many times you see a kid commit suicide and you're like, he was the fucking happiest. You didn't
never see it coming.
No. So like, yeah, I if I were you, I'd snoop a little bit, man.
I'm gonna be snooping.
Yeah.
I don't want to admit it. I got shut up here, but I'm gonna be snooping.
Yeah, right.
Well, look, brother, thank you so much for coming on. I think you're doing a great job. And I appreciate you opening up about that. I know that stuff's not easy to talk about.
Yeah, you know, especially because I get mad at myself when I even talk about it, because it feels weak. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Okay.
It shouldn't, and you know that as well, but I know, invulnerable and everything, you know, what I, you know, you say you worry about sounding like a pussy and all that stuff. No, fuck that.
Yeah, but you know something, but you want, you always want to be a better person.
Yeah.
And so when you, when I talk about things that I know are weaknesses, weakness isn't the right word, but whatever it is, I get mad that I haven't figured it out yet. You know?
Yeah, your ex is going to come on here and tell us about it. I love you, dude.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much.
Will
you
please one more time plug whatever you'd like?
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. Man, every, on my Facebook fan page on Mondays and Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific time, whether it's the High Live or Control Chaos.
So much fun.
I'm going to guarantee you. And also, man, my YouTube page just hit over a million subscribers.
Yeah, congratulations.
But I got a bunch of comedy on there. If you don't know what I do or my style, head over there. I put all my comedy, my specials
please,
up there for free.
Please, don't end up on his list.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake. Go watch the show.
You better be wearing your slacks when you wash my shit, too.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on. I love you to death. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.